Now, if you will, turn to Jonah chapter 2. We'll take our reading from verse 9 through chapter 3. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published it through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you that to those who see the mercy that is in Jesus Christ, who apprehend it and turn to you and turn from their sins, that you show your grace to us. Lord, we pray this very day that we will see your overwhelming grace to sinners, as it is in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us see it. Let us take hold of it. And let us know your amazing grace. We ask this in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We get justice, don't we? At a very early age, that's what we want. You see it in children. A child comes along and takes another child's toy, and immediately what happens? They cry out. They want the toy back. They either come to you or they take justice into their own hands and they will strike another child and take the toy back. We get justice. We want justice. We understand justice, don't we? Someone, even in our older age, someone does wrong to us. and we want justice. What's hard for us to get, to understand, to comprehend, to wrap our minds around is not justice, but grace. We don't understand grace. We get justice. We don't understand grace because we always think someone else's sin is worse than our own. We see it in the life of Jonah too, don't we? God shows Jonah grace. Great grace. He preserves his life. He saves him from sure death. And he sends him to preach. And after he's preached in chapter 4, Jonah pouts that Nineveh has repented. Because what he surely wanted was justice seen in the way that he wanted justice to be meted out. In our chapter, in our text, we don't see the justice of God poured out directly. It's indirectly. It's meted out. There is not a bypassing of justice here. But what we get directly is the picture of God's amazing grace. It comes to Jonah. It comes to Nineveh. Their sin will be punished, but it will be poured out on that greater than Jonah that we saw in our New Testament reading. So that as we look in this text, we say with Spurgeon, the wonder of heaven is not that some go to hell, but that any go to heaven. This text is about God's amazing grace to sinners. We said that's the fundamental heart of the book of Jonah. It's not primarily about a man who gets swallowed by a fish. The book of Jonah is primarily about God's great heart of mercy. And so in our chapter, this chapter is set out in the context of the end of verse 9. That great statement that Jonah makes. Salvation is of the Lord. There you have it. Amazing grace. We're going to take a look at that grace this morning under three headings. We're going to see, firstly, God's gracious calling. God's gracious calling. We're going to see, secondly, God's gracious sending. God's gracious sending. And lastly, God's gracious relenting. His calling, his sending, his relenting. So how do we see this magnificent grace set before us? Well, we see it firstly in the calling to Jonah. Verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I will tell you. Do you see grace here? Do you see the sheer wondrous grace of God here in the calling of Jonah? This is grace. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Here it is. Jonah has been spit out onto the dry ground. He is standing up. He's knocking off whale stomach debris from him, or fish stomach grossness from him. He's trying to get his bearings about him.
He doesn't presume to go back to Israel because, well, God hasn't told him that he is still a prophet. He's not going to go back there and prophesy. He does not presume to go forward to Nineveh because God would justly have stricken him dead. God would have been just to end the life of Jonah. Jonah had disobeyed God's command. He rebelled. He ran. And what does sin against God deserve? The wages of sin is death. But our text says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. When God says something, when do you obey? You don't wait. You obey the first time. God says, "Thou shalt not." When do you obey that? The first time. "You shall." When do you obey that? You obey it the first time. So that when God says, "Do not," you don't. And when He says, "Go," you go. God would have been just to tell that fish, "You know what? Keep him. Swallow him. Take him to the depths." And Jonah had resigned himself to that. It's acceptable. Jonah just says, "Lord, I am in your hand. Your mercy is to me as it will be. I cast myself on your promises." That's what we saw in his prayer of faith the last time. And God would have been just to say to that fish, "Keep him down there." But this chapter, this entire book, but this chapter is dripping with the grace of God. Like the sweetness of honey dripping from the comb. This chapter is full of grace. The overwhelming, amazing grace of God. Because it is fundamentally about God's great heart of mercy. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. What does this mean for Jonah? Means that God has forgiven him. That God has forgiven him. You would think, because in our minds we think only in terms of justice to people who have done wrong. Ordinarily we think this way. You would think that at least Jonah would be deposed. God would never use him again. Sure, it's gracious of God to spare his life and to put him on this island or wherever he is. He's near Nineveh. But Jonah doesn't know that yet. He would be gracious just to set him there. But the grace of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time. He's not finished. He has forgiven him. And he has a purpose still for this great rebel. He's still going to use him. And so Jonah didn't presume. He's on the shore. He's getting his bearings. And again, he doesn't go back to Israel or go forward to Nineveh. He just waits. And God comes to him again. Again, that's grace. That's grace. How do I know it? How do you take this? What do you mean it's grace? I mean, it's great for Jonah. Well, I ask you this morning, what about you? You know you've sinned greatly. You've even claimed the name of Christ. And yet, in your own secret heart, or even in your actions, you have sinned greatly against God. And in your heart, you probably because you understand justice more than grace, you probably think that God is finished with you. You are beyond the realm of hope. Let this text fuel and feed and give you hope. God is a God of second chances. The word of the Lord came to Jonah in chapter 1, said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." And Jonah stood up and he went to Tarshish. And justice says, "Cut him off, be done." But now the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Oh, the sweetness of God's grace. That He's not just a God of second chances, but He's the God of the third and the fourth and over again. So that when Peter comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, let me tell you how good I am. When my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? Because that's gracious." Jesus says to him, "No. No, I tell you, you forgive him 70 times seven." And that's just in our dealings with our fellow men. How much more gracious is a God who comes to us in grace? We are conceived in sin. We live out lives of sin. And yet, even after He has come to us in grace and we sin, He comes to us in grace again. Oh, if God were only the God of second chances, this pulpit would be empty. This church would be empty. But God is the God of grace to sinners. This morning you say, "I know that I've sinned. I know. So what? What must be done? What must I do? I know I've sinned." Well, I say to you, repent. Repent of your sin. And turn to God in confession of your sin and resignation upon His mercy and to His grace. And then you pursue holiness. That's what our catechism tells us. Shorter Catechism 87 says, "What is repentance unto life?" The answer is, repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner out of sight of sin, out of a sight of his sin, a true sense of his sin and an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. God is gracious to Jonah. He comes to him and he calls him again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. God's grace comes to us, even as vile as we are, but it begins to change us. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and he ran. God in His grace comes back to Jonah. He says, "Go." And Jonah goes. And so we see the grace of the Lord in this calling. He did not have to come to Jonah, but He comes and He makes use even of a rebel. That's now made compliant. Then we see His grace in His sending Jonah. He says to Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And Jonah began to go into the city And going a day's journey, he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Grace. More grace. God had told Jonah in the first place, "Go to Nineveh." Jonah ran. Now God comes back to Jonah and he says, I, just as I am not finished with you, I have not shown forth my purpose of grace that I have set forth. Go to Nineveh." God will never leave His people, His church, His chosen ones. He will never leave them without the grace that they need unto salvation. Rise, go to Nineveh. He does not cease from His purpose to show Nineveh grace. We're astounded that He shows Jonah grace. I mean, we know that we would have cast Jonah off. It's astounding to us, the grace that He shows to Jonah. But He's still going to show grace to Nineveh. God is relentless when He's going to show grace to a sinner. God will not stop some, even on their dying breath. The thief on the cross, God had purposed to show him grace. He was going to set before him the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ. And on the cross, beside a dying and bleeding Savior, God's grace is relentless. He sends that grace yet again to Nineveh. "Arise, Jonah. Go to Nineveh." Nothing can thwart God's good purpose of grace. Again, this book is fundamentally about God's heart of mercy to sinners. This was not the nation of Israel. God had, in His revelation at this point, spoken to and made this theocratic nation of Israel His visible purpose of grace on the earth. And here He is sending His own prophet outside of Israel. God has a great heart of mercy for His people wherever He will find them. You can rest assured that where His people are, He will always send His word. That's the grace here. God sends Jonah with His word. That's what Romans tells us, that there is no salvation outside of the preaching of the word. And so God sends Jonah to proclaim a message. That's what Romans 10 tells us. Romans 10, 14 and following. "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Grace. 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 God sends out His grace through the preaching of the word. So He comes to Jonah and He says, "Jonah, I have forgiven you. I am restoring you. Go and preach to these people." And the words are beautiful. Jonah goes to the people of Nineveh and he proclaims this message, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And look what it says. It doesn't say, and Jonah was convincing, that Jonah came with words of wisdom, convincing people. No, it says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. God sends. God gives faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. These Ninevites were not any smarter than others. They weren't a mighty nation that is to be feared over the mighty hand of God. No, they weren't more powerful than God. God showed them grace. He sends the word, and they believe God. In His grace, He uses Jonah, and in His purpose of grace, He sends him to Nineveh. And in that grace, He relents. That's what we see. They believe God. They call for a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. The word even came to the king and he said, it's not just enough for us. Don't even feed your animals. Put sackcloth on them. We are all vile and wicked. Because when faith comes, when the word comes, you know that you are hopeless and helpless without the grace of God. And notice, these sinners do the same thing that those sailors on the ship did. Verse 9, they resigned themselves to His grace. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from His fierce anger so that we may not perish. He doesn't have to. We know that we deserve His justice, but we are praying for His grace. Faith always resigns itself to God. And God in this instance relents and shows His grace. God blesses the preaching of His word, and Nineveh, from the least to the greatest of them, they repent. The text lays out clearly what it means to have faith in God. They believed God. They repented before God. They feared God, and they hope in God. That's what you have. God's grace coming in the preaching of Jonah and the people repenting. Believing, repenting, fearing, and hoping. So what does this relenting give us? I mean, what else does it give us? Well, it's this, that in God's purpose of grace, in His mercy, He extends grace to all who would have faith in Him. All. For God so loves the world that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. From every tribe and tongue, these people were not of Israel. They were the Ninevites. He extended grace to those where His word had gone, and they believed and repented and feared Him and hoped in Him. So how can God, who is just, infinitely just and holy, relent from this judgment, this temporal judgment that He was going to pour out on Nineveh? How can he not destroy the city? After all, Jonah preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Is there a contradiction here? I mean, the city isn't cast down. Well, no, there's not a contradiction. in two senses. We see this. This is a message of repentance. They repented. By the grace of God, they repented, and the city is not cast down. But the Ninevites in Nineveh were destroyed. Because by faith they had been united to the greater than Jonah that was coming. And on the cross, the wrath of God was poured out on him. He was rent for sinners. He was destroyed where they deserved to be. Every judgment that they deserved for being murderers and adulterers and liars and thieves and blasphemers and idolaters. Every judgment of God was poured out on the greater than Jonah who has come. Oh, justice wasn't bypassed. It was met in Jesus Christ. And there justice and mercy meet. And for those who will turn to Him in faith, who will rest in the promise of God, who will believe in Him, mercy is given, even as justice is poured out on the eternal Son of God. The greater than Jonah was destroyed for those who would be built up, made into a royal priesthood, into the living temple. You don't have to fully understand it to believe it. They believed God and repented of their sins. They had hope in Him, and they resigned themselves to His mercy. And so this day I say to you, if you've wandered in sin, if you walked in sin, if you turned away and you, like Jonah, have rebelled, or you never have, like the Ninevites, come to Jesus. I say to you this very moment, He says to you, come unto Me, all who are weary and heavy laden. If the burden of sin upon you is great, if your past struggles with sin are pressing down to you so that you almost know that you are sinking into the pit, you're as good as dead. Then just like Jonah, just like those Ninevites, believe God that in Jesus Christ there is mercy. Repent before Him, fear Him, and hope in Him alone. Oh, it's easy to believe that we deserve nothing but God's wrath. Oh, but grace is so sweet. It's so astounding, it's so amazing that the wrath that we deserve has been placed on the shoulders of the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Turn to Him. Turn to Him while there is breath in your lungs and a beat to your heart. And just like Nineveh, it's not too late. His grace is great, and it's amazing, and it will save even the vilest offender who truly believes. Let's pray.